So there's one obvious difference. But we all have different personalities. We all have different characteristics. But we have one thing in common, and that is the Lord. Those who are in the body of Christ, we have one thing in common. So I really want to talk a little bit about unity of the body. And I want to open in I'm just going to read this, and then we're going to turn to some scriptures today. But I want to read in my introduction, in John chapter 17, verse 21. How many of you have ever read that passage of scripture, John 17? I call that the Lord's Prayer. This is where Jesus knows that his time in the earth is just about to come to an end, and he is praying to the Father certain things. And one of the things that he asks that is explicit in verse number 21, Jesus prays that the body would be all one as he and the Father are also, and that we would be one in them, that the world would believe that he was sent by him. Jesus leaves the body, his body, us, the believers, us who have proclaimed him as Lord and Savior over our lives. He leaves us to continue the work that he has begun. We are the ones that will proclaim the witness of Christ until he returns. And so this is what he's praying to the Father. He's saying, Father, I want them to be all one, just like you and I are one. Yes, we have different functions, but we're still one. We are perfectly in union with one another. We have one purpose, one cause, and one faith, one baptism, one spirit. We are perfectly joined together, even though we have different functions. And this is what he's praying. Paul writes about this desire in Ephesians, and that is the context from which we will be settling in on today. We will be doing a lot of study in the book of Ephesians, particularly in chapter 4. But Paul writes about this desire for true unity as his revelation about the church as the body of Christ and the instrument of God to confound the world and overcome evil powers expands. Paul is getting a revelation, a deeper revelation, that the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ is the tool, the instrument that God is going to use to confound the world and to overcome the darkness that is pervading the earth. Jesus has already done what he is supposed to do. He has already disarmed the principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. He's already done, and he has left the body, his church, to do the remainder of the work here in the earth. Let me hear you say amen to that. Amen. So we see this, and when we look at this, I always like to look at this, and even the Bible speaks about it, from the context of the human body. Like the human body, the church worldwide, the body of Christ, is a complex organism made up of millions of individual members. The church is not an organization. We are organized, but we are an organism. We are living and moving. We are not like other things that the world puts together. We are an organism. The church is us. It's not this building. It's not any other building. It is the body of believers that confess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and walk their lives according to his purpose and according to his will. That is the body of Christ. And just like our natural human bodies, we're made up of millions of members. Okay? When all the members operate in unity, both bodies can accomplish amazing things. My body has not been functioning altogether in the last few days. So I haven't been at full capacity. But I'm working on it. And once all the members are doing what they're supposed to do, Even I, who am short in stature, can do some amazing things. So how much more when the body of Christ, all of you wonderful, talented, gifted people out there are working together in harmony according to how Jesus Christ has set you in his body, how much more can the body of Christ, we should not be rubbing our hands, folding our hands because of what's going on, because of the onslaught that's going on in the homosexual community, in the darkness that is pervading the earth. We should not be rubbing our hands like this, going, oh my God, look what's happening. We should be rubbing our hands like this, saying, oh boy, let's get going. See? We should not be backing up and backing down. We should be standing up and moving forward. Understanding that we are the instrument of God to overcome the darkness. We, you and I, nameless faces, most of us, are going, God, trust us. Huh? What do you think about that? The God of all creation, the God of the universe, trusts little old me and little old you to finish his work in the earth. Oh, my God, when you just think about that, how glorious it is. That should just make you just jump for joy, make you want to shout, you know? Make you feel good, make you want to get up every morning. Saying, okay, God, let's do this thing. So I want to talk about three things. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to start out with verse 3. I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation. Let me know when you're there by saying amen. Amen. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. So, how do we have unity in the Spirit? The unity spoken of in this verse does not lie on a set of thoughts, nor is it in one form or mode of worship. In other words, you can worship this way, I can worship that way, we can worship different ways. That is not what he's talking about when he's talking about unity. It's not me conforming to the way you worship. It's not me conforming to the way your thoughts are, the way you go about doing what you do. It's about us having the mind of Christ and walking in the way that he desires for us to walk. Amen. That's what joins us together. Not a set of rules by man, but it's by the Spirit of God and the personhood of Christ and the Word of God that we move in unity, okay? What is unity? Unity is a state of being one, oneness, a whole or totality as being combined, combining all its parts into one. A whole or totality, the state of and the fact of being united, combined into one. As of the parts of a whole. Many members, one body. I want you to get that in your head. Many members all over the world, one body. And we're going to relate this or correlate this a little bit to the human body as we go forward here. But the Bible says endeavor or give effort to keep the unity. Endeavor says, in the New King James, it says endeavor is to exert oneself to do or effort something, effect something, to make effort, to strive, a strenuous effort to attempt. So he's saying, I want you to put forth some effort to have unity. You don't just la-di-dee, la-di-da, and have unity, because there are things that are opposing unity in the body. How many of you know that, huh? There are things that oppose the unity of the body. So it's not going to be us just sashaying along the way and having unity. You have to put effort into it. Here are a few things that I want to look at. We have to aim high for meekness. Aim high for meekness. Meekness does not mean weakness. It's strength under control. Meekness. We want to aim very high to be in meekness. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. If you could put that up on the screen for me. I want to just read that for you. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Is that up on the screen? Yes. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So one of the things that we want to do is walk in meekness. We want to walk that we edify one another. We want to walk contrary to the way that our flesh desires, which is full of pride. We want to walk in lowliness of mind. We want to walk according to walking in meekness, walking in lowliness of mind. In other words, not puffing ourselves up, but rather not desiring that the spotlight is on us, but that the spotlight is on the things that God is doing in the earth, okay? That's one of the things that we want to do when it says endeavor, making an effort, aiming high to walk in meekness. All of us, every one of us, has to walk in meekness. Number two, we want to keep away from things that cause division. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. If you could put that up for me. Keep away from the things that cause division. It says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same, and that there be no what? No what? Among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There are things that bring about division in the body of Christ. They're not always big things. Sometimes they're little things. How many of you in here are married? How many of you have seen little things bring about some division for a moment? Huh? Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm married too. Been married for a while. And first thing you know, some little thing, okay? Like opening the toothpaste or closing the toothpaste, okay? Or folding a towel this way versus that way, okay? And then you're into this big old thing about it. And then when you sit down and think about it, you say, how stupid is that? There's nothing in that that's going to be life-threatening. But yet and still, we just spent an hour arguing and fussing about something so stupid. Who cares if the towel is folded this way or that way? When I want to use it, I'm going to unfold it anyway. Well, just the same way in the body of Christ. There are little things that want to bring about division. Well, he said that about me. He said that he preferred his preaching over my preaching. Who cares? Who gives a rip? They tried to do that with Paul and Apollos. Some said, we're for Apollo, and some said, we're for Paul. Paul said, forget about that mess. He says, some water, some plant, but God gives the increase. I don't really give a rip about who you like. Just listen and learn. We have to be careful and mindful to not allow division to come in us. How does division come? Division is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Pride is a big part of what brings division. The enemy searches for pride in our lives, and he will enter into that place to cause division. He will. Well, you know, there I'm having an event and nobody's really talking about my event. Why is everybody talking about his event or her event? Who cares? Who cares? If the people that God wants to attend come and attend, I don't really care. You see, we have to really fight against that. We have to fight against looking at people's, not being envious of what one person is doing versus another person. These are the little things that bring about. Remember, the Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little things that creep in and allow big things to come forth. We have to fight and guard against that. How do we do that? We'll talk about it in a moment. We have to operate out of the mind of Christ. That's what brings the oneness. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. One mind. Jesus was about one thing, accomplishing the will of the Father. That's all he cared about. He was about one thing. He didn't care about reputation. Matter of fact, when he did miracles and signs and wonders, sometimes he said, hey, look, shut your mouth. Don't be going out there telling nobody. But, of course, people didn't listen to him. They go out there, yahoo, that guy over there, he did that. But Jesus wasn't about trying to puff himself up. He wasn't about trying to proclaim his own ministry. He was about trying to do the will of the Father. How much more us who are not perfect? We should be about the will of the Father. We should be about exalting the name of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made himself of what? No reputation. Being God in every form, he took on the lowly place, robing himself in human flesh. Why? Because the mission was more important than him. The mission was more important than him being exalted. The mission was more important than his place of promise or prominence. So we have to be about the mind of Christ. In that same passage of Scripture, we see one other thing that we have to do in order to keep the unity. We have to walk in love. And I ain't talking about what you have seen on TV. That ain't love. That's lust. Okay? I'm serious. I'm just being straightforward here. That's lust. All right? This all is moo 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 me dee da 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 dee dee. That ain't the type of love that God is talking about. That don't keep people together. We're talking about the love of God. It is the love of God that brings about the bond of unity. The love of God that allows us to look beyond faults and see people's needs. The love of God that will forgive one another. That's what I'm talking about. The love of God that covers a multitude of sin. We don't ignore sin, but we cover sin by the love of God. Now, how does that look? Huh? Let me show you what that looks like. Now, I'm going to show you what that looks like, okay? Now, Nick just got through doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing, okay? So I'm not going to come over to him and say, brother, you know, I don't care that you did that. No, I'm going to come over to him and say, hey, Nick, come here. Let's take a little walk here. Let's talk for a moment. So, if what it is, instead of just blasting him in public, I'm going to take him aside. I'm going to deal with the sin. I'm going to bring about the proper correction. But I'm going to let him know that I love him, that I care for him. And so at the end of it, we're going to hug. And that's how we keep each other accountable. That's what, thank you, Nick. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about love that covers sin, not ignores sin. Okay? God didn't say ignore sin. He says he covers sin. God didn't say ignore offense. It says don't allow offense to get embedded inside of you. Forgiveness is a key element if we are to walk in unity. I will tell anyone that meets me, if you're around me long enough, I'm going to say something or do something that you ain't going to like. Just stay around me long enough. Yes, my wife, she'll say, you don't have to stay around me too long for that to show up. But one thing that we have to understand is when that thing happens, we have to be ready to forgive. Ready to let go of it. Ready to not keep an account of it. God doesn't keep an account of it. He says, as far as the east is from the west, I have forgiven your sin. That's the way we keep unity in the body. Where we can be at odds. How many of you have siblings? Huh? You ever have a little spat with your sibling? Some of y'all are still having a spat with your sibling. You need to get that taken care of. If you're still having a spat with your sibling, if you're still apart because of something that happened years ago, get that straight. But most of the time you have a spat with your sibling, especially when you're kids, and the next 10, 15 minutes you're back together playing again, like nothing ever happened. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. We're all going to do. How many of you are perfect? I'm going to put my hand down because I'm not either. None of us are perfect, so we're all going to do things wrong. But we have to be willing to forgive one another. So love. And then he talks about the bond of peace. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. See, when peace rules your heart, you don't get all frantic about things. We're talking about the peace of God. That inner knowing that even when things are a little bit crazy around you, you can say it is well. Just like the woman said when her son had died. She says, her husband came and says, what's wrong with the child? She said, it is well. Because she trusted the prophet that she was about to go see. Elijah. She trusted him enough to say, it's well. Child was dead. But she was okay. We have to have the peace of God so we don't get all stirred up when things go a little erratic. When things go a little wrong. When the enemy throws a curveball at us. When he trips up our plans. Even the plans that God gave to us. How many of you think that Joseph thought when he had that dream that he was going to be sold into slavery as a part of getting to his destination? I don't think so. I know I wouldn't have been dreaming that way. I would like, yo, God, hey, this is not part of the plan, is it? I'm sure Joseph didn't think that. But God said, don't worry about it. I got it all taken care of. That is the peace of God that rules in our heart. Without that peace, how many of you thought that when Abraham had his only child, he said, oh, finally, I got the promise that God's been talking about. Here's the scene. And God said, oh, by the way, I want you to sacrifice him. How many of you think that Abraham thought that was part of the plan? But he trusted God. The peace of God was ruling in his heart. It was the peace of God. It was the faith. It was that inner knowing. That even on the outside, it looks like I'm about to destroy the very seed, the very promise that God gave me. I'm about to destroy that. But somehow, in his heart, he knew that God would make a way. If you read it in the scriptures, it says, me and the child are going to worship and we will return. Just that very statement said to him that somehow God's going to make a way. The bond of unity. We have to endeavor. We have to strive. We have to work at it. We have to have love and we have to have peace. But God didn't leave us alone in just that. When he talked about the unity of the body, he gave some gifts to the body. And this is where I want to talk a little bit about how the body functions, okay? I want to talk a little bit about some things because this is where people get tripped up a lot. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're staying in Ephesians. And we're going to go to verse number 11. There's scripture in between that, but I want to go to verse number 11. It says this in verse number 11. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says this. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Who gave them to the church? Who gave them to the church?
Christ.
These are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. What is their responsibility? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity, here's that word again, in the faith and knowledge of God, of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So he gives these gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist. Fivefold ministry, as many of us know it. Right? And what was their purpose and what was their responsibility? To equip and to build up the church. But what has happened is, in a lot of cases, is when the pastor, teacher, when this fivefold ministry starts working and started operating, many of us went, okay, y'all do the work, I'm going to sit down and be a spectator. That was not the intent. The intent was to build up the body for the work of the ministry. That's you and I. All of us should be involved in the work of the ministry, not just the fivefold. Not just a pastor, not just a teacher, not just the evangelist or the prophet or the apostle, but all of us have a role. All of us have a function. All of us have a responsibility in the work of the ministry. Their job was to equip. Now, I want to relate this to our natural body here real quick when I talk about this. In the natural body, I looked something up here, and in the natural body, there are 78 organs. How many of you know all 78 of them? If you do, you're better than me. Okay? Most of us don't know them unless we've been in some kind of medical field or something of that nature. But yet and still, all of these organs are essential to the full functionality of the body. But yet and still, if I talk about the brain, how many of you have heard about the brain? If I talk about the skin, how many of you have heard about the skin? If I talk about the heart, how many of you have heard about the heart? Well, the fivefold ministry is like the skin for the human body. Think of this way. What is the responsibility of the skin? I'm going to read you something that I looked up about the human body. It said the skin is the largest organ of the human body. It protects all the inner body organs like the liver, the glands, the stomach, the heart, etc. Its other functions include heat regulation, sensory response, waste exchange, interaction with atmosphere, and protection from diseases. That is what the skin does for the human body. That is what the fivefold ministry does for the spiritual body. The fivefold ministry is to protect and to what? Build up the church. They're kind of like the covering for all the other functioning parts of the body. Think about it that way. Your skin covers up all the internal organs that most of us don't even know about. Most of the names, we can't even call them out. But the skin covers all of that. But guess what? The skin doesn't do their function. The skin does its function. So we see the primary responsibility is to teach and establish truth regarding Jesus Christ. That's the primary function of the fivefold ministry, to teach and establish truth. That's what the apostles did. Remember in after the day of Pentecost, and the apostles and the church was being added to by thousands. And there was a complaint by the Hellenists that their daily needs were not being taken care of. And the apostle said, we can't stop praying and preaching, but we know that your need needs to be taken care of, so we're going to appoint someone to take care of that. That is the responsibility. The responsibility is to teach and to equip. The other responsibility is when we are taught and when we are equipped, out of that revelation, guess what happens? There's a strengthening of our faith in the things of God. When we receive the word and out of the revelation of the word, there's a strengthening of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you came in to this, to the body of Christ, how many of you, when you came into the body of Christ, would say that you were stronger in faith than you are now? If you are, something's wrong. I wouldn't raise my hand, okay? You should be stronger in faith now that you've been walking in the body of Christ, now that you've been hearing the teachings, now that you received the revelation. Your faith should be stronger and strengthened in your faith than you were when you first began. The third thing that the fivefold ministry is responsible for, and out of their teaching and out of their equipping comes this. Every moving member of the body functions in the likeness of Christ. If you read that scripture, if you look back on that scripture that I just read in Ephesians, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith, into the maturity in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. That's all. That means that we're all walking in a Christ-like way. We're walking in a Christ-like manner. We're walking down the street. We're walking in our jobs. We're walking in our communities. We're walking in and out of stores. And there is an element of Christ that pervades from us that people can see that you've been with Jesus Christ. As you're moving through life, people should say, you've been with Jesus Christ. People should recognize without the signs, without the tattoos, without all of the paraphernalia, just by the presence of the Lord upon you. How many of you have ever experienced that? Minding your own business. And somebody goes, something's different about you. That's the peculiar part. When the Bible says we are peculiar people, that means that the world shouldn't recognize that we've been with Jesus Christ. Just like the prophets, just like the apostles, just like the disciples of old, the world should know that you and I have been with Jesus Christ because of the manner of the way that we live our lives, because of the manner of the way we walk in speech, because of the authority that we have in faith. Because of our response when bad things happen, people should know and he's been with Jesus Christ. That is the function of the fivefold ministry. They are to cover and equip and build up. But we are to do the work of the ministry. As I move along here, I want to talk about one thing more. Members of one body fitly join together. As in the human body, there are many, many members that all fit together, each having their own function. How many of you know that within every one of those major organisms, there are many millions of cells? There are billions of cells in the brain alone. That's like us. There are millions of us all over the world that confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're doing what we're supposed to do, then the body of Christ functions in an amazing way. But it says here, we're fitly joined together, each having their own function, which makes the body function as a whole unit. So we have in the body of Christ many members with varying gifts, talents, and abilities, all from the same Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. So the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In the body, in the human body, okay, there are primary members of the human body. I've already talked about one of them, and that is the skin. The fivefold ministry is what I equate that to. There's the brain or the head. That is Jesus Christ. We don't have to worry about him doing his part. But let me tell you what the brain does in the human body. Think about this. The brain is the third largest and major organ of the body. The brain controls and governs all the actions of the body parts. Does that sound like Jesus? Huh? He is the one that's giving direction. He is the one that's giving the order. He is the one that is telling us when, where, what, and how to do what we do. So we have to stay in connection with him. How do we do that? Through the study of the word. Through our time in prayer. That's why we put such a great emphasis on prayer in this house. Because we know that in the place of intimacy, there becomes a knowing of God and his purposes and his plans and his ways and his character. And then you and I can align with that and we can begin to walk together with that. Just like in the human body, Jesus is the one that we listen to. Jesus is the one that we get our marching orders from. Jesus is the one that tells us how we fit in the body, what our function is, when we are supposed to function, where we're supposed to function, how we're supposed to function. Second primary member of the body is the heart, when you look at the human body. I want to read you something about the heart. It says the heart is the fifth largest and most important organ in the human body that is essential for all living beings. The major functions of the heart is to pump the blood and to ensure the provision of nutrients to every part of the body. When Jesus got ready to leave, what did he tell the apostles? He says, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Don't go anywhere. Don't try to function. Don't try to do anything. The human heart cannot function without, the human body cannot function without the heart. So we cannot function without the Holy Spirit residing inside of us. How many of you have ever walked into a church or have ever walked into a place and people are singing and shouting and going on and you sense that it's totally dead. Anybody ever had that happen? You go, whoa, it's like a mortuary when it comes to the move of the Spirit. You see, we can have a lot of things going on. But without the Spirit, there's no life in the body. You can do a lot of things. You can obtain a lot of things. You can accomplish a lot of things. But without the life of the Spirit, there is no life to what you do. Everything must come out of the move of the Spirit. That is why we're putting such an emphasis on the Spirit of the God, on the Holy Spirit in this hour. Because you and I need to be in touch with the third person. He lives inside of us. Let him do his job. Let him pump life through you. Don't grieve him. Don't suppress him. But let him live his life through you. Get rid of the chunk in your life. Get rid of the hindrances of your life. Lay down your pride and your prestige and allow the Spirit of God to move through you. Because oftentimes when he moves through us, it's not going to be in the way that's prim and proper. Because God takes the foolish things and confounds the wise. So if you're prim and proper, you better lose that if you want life in the Spirit to flow through you. Because the things that the Spirit of God may want you to do may look foolish and crazy. But they accomplish his purposes. It is the life of the Spirit inside of us. It is the life of the Spirit inside of us that brings unity one to another. Test every spirit by the Spirit. It's the life of Spirit that brings a true unity. I can try to say, hey, Jay and I got things together, but when Jay came around and I began to meet Jay and began to interact, there was a kindredness of spirit that just automatically happened. Why? Because the same Spirit resides in both of us. Don't try to fake it. Let him have his way in you. There are other members of the body that are notable, but most of us don't know their name unless we've had to deal with it, like the thyroid and the lungs and the glands and the pancreas and the liver. And I was looking at all these names, and I was like, oh, my God, all that's inside of me? It's like spleen and the prostate and the kidneys and a whole bunch of stuff. But most of us don't know that. And why did I bring that up as I get ready to close? Worship team, come on up. Why did I get that? I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. This is the last scripture that I'm going to go to as we're getting ready to wrap up here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. And I'm going to read through verse 16. Because this ties it all together. This ties all of the unity together. Unity of the body. Are you getting anything? Amen. The human body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body, because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not the eye, would that make it any less part of the body? You and I have to understand how minor we see our role or how major we see our role. Whether the light shines on what you do or whether you stay in seclusion, your part in the body is crucial. I don't care if you're just a person, if you're the person that just comes in when everybody's gone and cleans the place. Make sure everything's in order. Make sure everything's right and nice and tidy. If that's your responsibility, if that's what God has called you and placed you to do, then do it with all of your heart. Do it with all of your might. Do it with fervency and do it in the Spirit of God. You never know who might walk in. You never know how much that means to a ministry. Everybody's part is essential, and everybody's part is necessary, from the youngest to the oldest. Do you know the Bible never talks about retirement? And I was kind of planning on that. Till I read the scripture. I said, oh, well, I guess no retirement for me. Just redirection. No retirement, but redirection. You see, your part in the body, whether people know your name, whether people know your position, is crucial to the body. And we got to get that inside of us. That's why it says way back in verse 3, it says, in lowliness. See? To be lowly doesn't mean that you are insignificant. You got to understand that. Each member is very valuable. God saved you and he left you on this earth because you have a sphere of influence. Whether your responsibility is inside the four walls or outside of the four walls, learn what God has set you to do and walk out with those giftings. Let those giftings be manifest in you. Whether it's just you caring for the little children, working in the CEC, in our Children's Equipping Center. Whether it's you walking with one or two people, mentoring them. Whether it's you raising up your children in the ammunition of the Lord. Whether it's you that works out in the field and gives your tithes and offerings. Whatever it is that God has set upon you to do in the body, remember that the body will only function in its full capacity when you do your part. When you do what you're supposed to do, whether it's just picking up the phone and calling the new visitors that came and saying, we thank you for coming. However minor or however major you think your responsibility is, God needs you. God desires it. You're not insignificant. You're not insignificant. Just because you don't have a title, just because you don't have a position, just because you don't have an office, doesn't mean you're insignificant or that the body can function without you. We need you. We need you. You're all part of God's family. You're all part of it. So right now, in this moment, I want to do something kind of different as I bring this to a close. So listen to the words of this song. I want each one of you to understand that you're insignificant. And I want you to begin to get up out of your seat and just walk forward. See, if you don't do your part, body won't function. So I'm lifting out my hand. I need you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just stand up. We're no more spectators. Come on up. Come on. Just stand across here and join hands. See, I need you. We're all part of God's family. I need you. You need me. Nobody should be sitting in the back, because everybody's needed. When we join one another, we need each other to survive. We need each other to accomplish His will and His purpose. If you're part of the body of Christ, we need each other. Join hands with somebody. Everybody join hands with somebody. This is the way the body should look like. This is the way we should work. Not looking at one another and saying, well, I would like to be like you. No, I want to be what God wants me to be in the body. And what He wants me to be, that's enough for me. I don't care what it is. I don't care. The scripture says that I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to be in the tents of unbelievers. Every need be supplied. If you just pray a prayer for me, I need that. If I just pray a prayer for you, I need that. We all need each other. We need to quit looking at each other. Quit looking at our differences. And let's concentrate on our unity. Quit looking at what's different between us. And let's embrace what's the same in us. It's the Spirit of God that's the same in us. One mind, one spirit, one baptism, one Lord of all. So I just want you to take this moment. I don't know where you worship at, but when you go back, if you're uninvolved, get involved. Ask the Lord how and where and how you want me to be involved. And go back and take your place in the body. Because the body needs you. Everybody. It's necessary. You, little fellow, you're necessary in the body. We all have a sphere of influence. You, young man, you're crucial to the body. So, we just want to pray here. Father, we commit ourselves as members of one body to bring our gifts, to bring our talents, to bring our abilities according to you, according to your purpose, that we can be fitly joined together as one Lord. Oh God, would you perform a work in our hearts, Lord God? If there's offense, would you remove the offense, Lord God? If there's unforgiveness, would you flood our hearts with the desire to forgive, Lord God? Would you remove every bitterness, Lord God? God, if we don't think we're much, Lord God, help us to know, Lord God, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that you have purposed us for this hour, Lord God. You have purposed us for this time, Lord God. And whatever you call us to do, you give the orders, Lord. By your Spirit, Lord God, we want to be united as one. We want to see your plans and purpose. We want to be that instrument in your hands, Lord God, that writes on the hearts of others. We want to be that tool, Lord God, that continues your work in the earth and overcomes the evil. Oh God, will you move in our hearts right now, Lord God? Will you remove everything that hinders love, Lord God? Will you remove everything, Lord God, that has caused us to step away, Lord God? That has caused us to step back, Lord God. That has caused us to sit down, Lord God, and not bring our valuable gift to the body. Oh God. Oh God. Do a new thing in our minds. Let the mind of Christ, Lord God, flood our minds this hour. In this moment, Lord God. Oh God. Bring unity in the body. Tear down every wall of division, every wall of denomination, Lord God. Remove it, Lord God. Every ism, every schism. Oh God, what you do right now? Would you do that right now? Holy Spirit, rise in us. Holy Spirit, refresh us. Revive us. Allow the life of God to flow in us. Holy Spirit, move inside of us. Touch us right now. Touch us right in this moment. Touch us in this hour, Lord. Oh, God. Now I want to do one more thing. I want to do one more thing. While our worship team is playing, maybe there's somebody in our midst that you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe for whatever reason, you've stepped away. You've stepped back. You said, I don't want to do this anymore. If that's you today and God is moving on your heart, I don't want you to raise your hand because I'm saying something. But if the Spirit of God is speaking to you right in this moment, I want you to just lift up your hand. If you've been away from the Lord, or maybe you've never confessed Him as Lord and Savior, I want you to just lift up your hand right where you're at. If that's you, lift up your hand. Now, I just want to take a moment. Right now, right here. I know you've been standing for a moment, but that's okay. Just give God a moment. Whatever it is that you desire of Him, the windows of heaven are open. Ask Him. Ask Him for it. Because He loves to give gifts. He loves to give you what you need to function in the body. So whatever it is, whatever hindrance is standing in your way, right now as we take a few moments, as the worship team is playing, I want you just very quietly, very personally. We're not going to lay hands on you or anything like that. I want you to just take a moment and speak to the Lord. And when you're done, you can return to your seat, but do not leave. We would dismiss it just for a couple of moments.
Love has made
as you return into your seats, just lift up your hands before the Lord. Let's just honor Him in this Memorial Day weekend. Let's just take a moment to remember the finished work on the cross. The price that He paid for us. While we were yet sinners, He gave it all.
We are not another.
Father, I thank You for those under the sound of my voice, Lord God. Father, I pray that the renewal, Lord God, that began today, Lord God, will increase. God, I ask that You would watch over them, Lord God, while we're apart one from another, Lord God. I ask that You would lead and guide them, direct them and protect them, Lord God. I pray Your blessings upon them, Lord God, that You would make Your face shine upon them, and that You would do good works in their lives, Lord God, that You would fulfill every need, Lord God, that You would remove every hindrance, Lord God, that You would use them in a mighty way, Lord God, however small, however large, Lord God, for Your work. In this hour, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now before you leave, I want you to turn to somebody. And I want you to tell them, you are important. Give them a hug. And have a great weekend.
I had a feeling.